Wow, it's really hard to make a decision when you've got so many qualified applicants and people interested. That's awesome. And I want to thank all of you right now for applying. We had our discussion. We will have another planning commission position open again next year. So those that we have not chosen, or we'd love to see you come back again. Don't give up. We're glad to have people interested in the town business. After our discussion, I am deciding to appoint Shelley Gibson Price to the Planning Commission and Nancy Tosta to the alternate position. We good? So congratulations, and we're looking forward to it. Okay.
And do we need to appoint Jabe?
Yes. Oh, yes. Jabe. I was moving down, actually. Okay. He was next on that. All right. So the Board of Adjustment position, I will appoint Jabe Bill back into that position tonight. Both the Planning Commission and the Board of Adjustments, they vote on the chair. So, all right. Is Jabe here? I haven't seen him. Is he here? All right. Well, we'll get in touch with him. All right. The next thing on the agenda is to rescind the approval of Ordinance 2022-4, the fire protection and in subdivisions that we passed on November 3rd. And then we will discuss the one that has been given to us with all the corrections on it. And we'll discuss and hopefully approve that tonight. So, I will entertain a motion to rescind that.
I will make that motion.
Steve, second. All in favor of rescinding 2022-4?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. So, it was brought to us with the corrections on it. Okay. All right. Is this the right one? This got all the corrections. This one doesn't have the other correction on it, does it?
I have a copy if you want it.
Why don't you give it to me and let me quick make copies of it. This one's got part of them on it, but it doesn't have the whole thing. So I don't know where that came from. Let me see.
It's three pages. It's front and back of one, and then just so you know, Judy.
Nope, that isn't.
Make six copies.
I pulled this one off the computer today, and we had so many problems with that computer, but we finally got it going today. The mouse went out, the keyboard went out.
I thought she was talking about a real mouse.
Okay, so I'm going to read. Peg wanted me to read this October 21st, 2020, from the Boulder Town Planning Commission to the Boulder Town Council. Submitted for the Town Council consideration is a draft ordinance amending Boulder Town requirements for the fire protection and the supporting background information. On October 13th, 2022, the Planning Commission voted to send the draft ordinance to the Town Council with a recommendation to approve as submitted. The issue of fire protection was discussed by the town council at the May 2022 meeting because requirements for fire hydrants and subdivisions involve land use ordinances. The matter was sent to the Planning Commission. A brief memo clarifying the scope of the request to the Planning Commission was discussed at the June 2022 Town Council meeting. A presentation on the work in progress was made to the Town Council at the August 2022 meeting and feedback was provided. The issue was discussed at the August planning meeting. A public hearing of the draft ordinance regulating fire protection in subdivisions was held at the September 8, 2022 Planning Commission meeting. A written public comment received from Tessa Barkin supported Clause C waiving the hydrant requirement in single-lot subdivisions and discussing the impact of hydrant costs on affordable housing. After hearing, a similar written comment was received from Dan Pence. At the hearing, Jim Catmull requested that the draft be reviewed by the state fire marshal. Additional questions and comments were made by Mark Nelson, Dan Pence, Shelley Price Gibson, re-effect on insurance rates. Randy Catmull commented from the standpoint of Boulder Farmstead Water Company. Donna Owen, Nick Vincent, Phoenix Bunkie, and Bill Guile also made comments. John Verant contacted Ted Black, State Fire Marshal. Mr. Black indicated that he was fine with the ordinance draft, but indicated that 500 feet is used by most other towns, and also considering the appendices to the fire code. The full email thread is attached for reference. A range of distances for fire from hydrant to lot line was included in the scope of the planning hearing. Tina Carlson made a motion, seconded by Elena Hughes, to change the required distance from 400 feet to 500 feet. The motion passed and the draft sent to the town council reflects the changes. Regarding the appendices to the 218 International Fire Code, Appendix 8A, Appeal Board, it would be difficult for Boulder to assemble a team with qualifications listed, but it could do so if a situation were sufficiently complex. Appendix B, fire flow. This allows the local fire official to reduce flow requirements in rural and suburban areas where full flow is impacted and explicitly allows using NFPA 1142. Appendix C, spacing of hydrants, allows 500 foot spacing where fire flow requirement is less than 1,000 GPM. No buildings in Boulder require higher fire flow. Appendix D, fire department access roads. The town has been requiring a drivable surface and turnarounds on new subdivisions as part of the community. Fire safety property owners should be encouraged to at least meet the minimum of the wildland urban interface code. In April, the town council meeting, a motion by Jimmy Catmull was passed to adopt the latest edition of the fire code. Note that the Boulder 151-10 from 1996 refers to the uniform codes, but Utah switched to international codes years ago. I didn't know if she wanted me to read that about the fire marshal's response. I can hardly read that. Jimmy, can I apologize? I'm going to glasses on.
From Ted Black, subject, state contact state fire marshal, says, to John Brandt, this looks fine to me. You may consider adopting appendices A, B, C, and D. Read these carefully and only adopt them if they will benefit the town. Most residential hydrant spacing is 500 feet. That being said, there is nothing wrong with what you have proposed. 400 feet spacing may serve your town more effectively. I'll be in Bryce on the 26th. I can run over to Boulder that afternoon if it would be helpful. Good luck in your ordinances. Then John, I actually read that backwards. That was his response to John. John wrote, I'm a member of the Boulder Town Planning Commission. I have been working on revising the fire protection section of our subdivision ordinance. At our public hearing on the changes, I was asked by the town council member to have the state fire marshal office review and comment on the draft before sending it to town council. Was the email of the appropriate person to whom I can send our public hearing draft? Thank you for your assistance in small town. We lack the depth of expertise available in large municipalities.
And the reason Ted wanted me to read these was because there was a glitch sending them out and we didn't have them in time for last month. So as soon as Judy gets that back. Oh, thanks, Miss Judy. Good girl. No, this is teeny writing.
Sorry.
We good? Okay. All right. Clean drafted the ordinance 2022-4 based on the version favorably recommended by Boulder Town Planning Commission at the October 13th, 2022 meeting, and incorporating the changes that were during the November 3rd, 2022 Town Council meeting. So we made some changes in here. And
so we'll have to do some form of motion for us to open a discussion.
Okay, well, we'll make a motion to pass this tonight. Do I have a second?
Okay, we're talking about
with discussion. One, yeah, the fire one. Yeah, okay. And then we'll discuss it after. Do I have a second?
Yeah, Gladys. Yeah.
Okay, we're open for discussion. So I'm going to read through this. An ordinance regulating fire protection in subdivision. Whereas the Boulder Town Council wishes to provide greater clarity on the requirements for fire hydrants in new subdivisions, and whereas the safety of persons and property is a town concern, whereas the Boulder Town General Plan has the objectives of promoting farming, ranching, and the conservation of open lands to support agriculture endeavors, and of maintaining diverse community structure by creating housing opportunities for seasonal workers and low to moderate income individuals. And whereas the requirements for fire access roads, fire flow, and fire hydrant spacing in the 218 International Fire Code for 1 and 2 family dwellings do not consider the circumstances of 5-acre or larger lots, which may be used in part for agriculture. And whereas the Utah Wildland-Urban Interface Code requires a water supply within 1,000 feet of a dwelling, and whereas the location of all future buildings is not known at the time of the subdivision, and whereas the applicable codes provide for the fire authority to make certain site-specific interpretations of the requirements. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Boulder Town Council that the Boulder Town Code is amended as follows. Addition to section 52.041(g)(3), fire protection and suppression requirements, the following, and renumber as needed. A, all new subdivision lots shall be within 600 feet of the fire hydrant connected to the water supply meeting applicable fire code requirements. So we changed the 500 to the 600. Then on B, we crossed out the fire authority may increase the allowable distance in 3A from a hydrant to the lot line based on unbuildable sensitive lands and any legal binding building restrictions indicated on the plot. And we crossed that out. We left in the fire authority may allow alternative free flow and storage where exceptions in nationally recognized fire codes are applicable, included and as approved by an engineer.
We should have town engineer or
that, yeah, town. Because there one said town engineer and the other one, so we'll put town engineer in there.
So if you're going to make any changes, we have to do each individual and then we like approve that.
Yeah,
and then we go back. So this whole section B should get looked at, but each one, so we don't do what we did last time.
Don't skip over one.
Yeah, let's do one thing at a time and make a motion to change it at that point and then keep going for each detail.
So the meaning should be changed first before we
do that.
So the fire authority may.
May.
Okay, and I think there's a grammatical error. It shouldn't say the fire authority may allow, not the fire authority many.
Yeah.
Allow. Yeah, yeah. So we're putting may in there. So we're on B.
Okay.
All right. So the fire authority may, we're changing many to may, allow alternative fire flow and storage where exceptions and nationally recognized determining fire protection requirements.
Nope, you skipped.
Oh, I did too, sorry. Recognized fire codes are applicable and as approved by an engineer, town engineer. We'll put include town on there.
Town approved engineer.
Town approved. Okay. Sorry. This is a little writing. I'm having a heck of a time seeing this.
I still don't think that that section's necessary because I think that the entire ordinance allows for at any point any of it to be approved by a town engineer, and by having it in that step, it is a requirement that is unnecessary in most cases.
So the which part?
The whole section? No. Oh, just okay. The part that last time we added that says and as approved by a town approved engineer, which is a lot of approved, but that was what Judy just read. So I just don't think it's necessary because the subdivision ordinance itself already says that any point, any parts of the application or the entire application can be reviewed by an engineer appointed by the town, paid for by the person doing the subdivision. And so it's redundant and an unnecessary step for the person that is trying to subdivide.
Okay, so you just wanted to say where exceptions in nationally recognized fire codes are applicable.
The way it was given to us from the Planning Commission. But before we go to that, should we vote on that everybody agrees that many should go to May so that we could do each section?
Yeah, did we do on this?
We said it.
Okay.
Well, did we do this or change that?
Yeah, that because we're... This is based on what we changed last time.
Oh, okay.
And so Judy already said, and we said okay. Section A was that we all agreed that it should be switched from 500 to 600 feet.
Okay. So
and we're all just discussing B for right now. Okay. And until we get B the way we want, we shouldn't move on.
Okay.
All right. So do we want to make a motion to take that out?
Yes, I will make the motion that we take that out and change the many to may.
I second that.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, so now let's go down to...
Wait. Let's just make sure that we're doing it correctly. So right now it's reading, the fire authority may allow alternative fire flow
approved.
And storage. Where do you see it?
Oh, wait a minute.
Allow alternative fire flow and storage where exceptions in nationally recognized fire codes are applicable. Economic hardship shall not be considered in determining fire protection requirements in new subdivisions. I have one more question on this one. I know we took out that first sentence the last time that the Planning Commission gave to us that was about recognizing the actual plat of land and that the actual features of the land should be considered and someone with the local fire authority, so someone that lives here in town is making that decision.
But that goes right back to the fire hydrants. They have to be engineered when they're put in. So we can't just say, like I said last time, you can't just be like, okay, let's put one right here.
Well, yeah.
You don't have the right pressure. You don't have any pressure to the fire hydrant.
Yeah, that's but this one isn't about that. And so I just think that
if you increase it or decrease it, you're actually changing where the fire flow and the fire pressure comes out of that hydrant.
But if we have the fire authority who has been appointed by the town council who we're entrusting to make this decision makes a recommendation, at that point, the town council or the planning commission, depending on where it is in the process, has the ability at any time to say, we want it now checked by
An engineer.
Okay.
And so the check is in there.
Okay.
And so I would make a motion that we put back the sentence, the fire authority may increase the allowable distance in 3A from a higher hydrant to the lot line based on unbuildable sensitive lands and any legally binding building restrictions indicated on the plat. And add that sentence from the Planning Commission back onto the ordinance.
So then the basically.
And then the rest of it is how we just said it. But so I make a motion that we add that sentence back in.
And where is it? And where?
We just got it.
Just right where it's crossed out in B, there's a single strike through on that sentence because last town council meeting.
Oh, okay. So where are we taking off that then?
So you're just adding that sentence back in.
The fire authority on may, unbuildable sensitive lands?
Yeah, exactly as it's written to go with. And so it's been motioned and seconded. Gladys seconded. And so then it just goes through and people can either accept that or not.
On unbuildable sensitive lands and any legal binding building restriction indicated on the plat. That's what we're at. That's what you want added in, right?
Yeah, that first sentence to put it back in.
And what's your objection to that, Jimmy?
Because our authority can't live behind it.
They're not moving. I just think that having somebody locally that can make a suggestion based on actual physical
but that's not
features.
What it's saying. It says may increase the allowable distance. That's not making a suggestion. That's saying that they're actually allowed to be able to make that.
But everything the fire authority does is just making a recommendation, and then the planning commission gets to take that recommendation or not, and the town council gets to make it or not. And at any time, we can say we want it engineered. But if there was a reason, like because of some contour line, it's something that makes something possible for people. I just think that the planning commission put a lot into it. I was in the meetings listening to it, and I felt like that goes. But
all right, well, you've made a motion and it's seconded to put that back in. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, no.
Jim, no.
No. Well, I think you have a point there. I'm yes. So we're going to put that back in. All right.
Anything else on that page?
All right. So after the many, we got that. Or the may back in. Fire authority may allow alternative fire flow and storage where exceptions in nationally recognized fire codes are applicable and as approved.
No, we got rid of that. It goes period after applicable. It's exactly as it was given to us by the Planning Commission now, except for the word many, that should have been may. The typo was fixed.
And so you're wanting to take out and as approved by an engineer?
We already did. We just made a motion of that previously.
Oh, I thought we had gone back to that one.
We did, and then we never voted on the engineer.
On taking out the engineer because we went to the back one. So we have to make a motion to take that out or leave that one in.
I thought we did before that.
No, we talked about it. And then you talked about the one above again, I think.
What do you have in your notes, Lexi?
We never voted.
We did not vote on
it. We did discuss on making a motion.
Okay.
But it never
went anywhere.
All right. So we are to and as approved by an engineer.
Make a motion to strike.
So I make a motion to strike and as approved by an engineer.
Gladys will second that.
Okay. All in favor of striking it?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, no.
Jim, no.
Judy, no. All right. Economic hardship shall not be considered in determining fire protection requirements in new subdivision.
Real quick, so as it says, it's and as approved by a town-approved engineer. Is that the wording that you have? Because right now, the way it stands was and as approved by an engineer.
Yes, and we changed it.
And so if you want
to have an engineer, yeah, we got
to change that, though you have to make a motion for it.
Yeah.
I make a motion to add town approved engineer in there. I know it's a lot of approves, but
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Elizabeth, no.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right.
Well, it's one that I emailed out to be put on the website. I don't know if it was the one that was added to the
website. Okay, so now we're at.
If you go to the Boulder Town website and go to something was linked, I don't know which copy.
It should have been linked.
It is.
Is it linked?
This is the one that I emailed out. I just don't know. Thank you, Tessa.
Okay. On C.
Somebody borrow this extra copy. I don't know if they're up there. I just keep it. Yes.
We'll wait for him to pull it up. We're on C.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, we're on C. The distance requirement in 3A may be waived in the case of subdivisions not requiring construction of new streets served only by private driveways or existing streets and creating no more than one additional lot. Are we good with that? Replace the current wording and standard for all proposed streets, fire hydrants as follows. Delete. Where feasible, all lots shall be located within 400 feet of a fire hydrant located within the street right-of-way or easements as approved by the town fire marshal. We're going to add. We're taking out where feasible, the, and putting the water supply and fire hydrant shall be located within the street right-of-way. Alternative routing may be approved by the fire authority and town's engineer provided necessary easement is recorded as part of the plat.
Need to have town approved engineer.
Make a motion, Jimmy.
Make a motion. Add town approved engineer.
So you're adding just the word approved between town and engineer?
Well, we'd have to add a town approved engineer.
Okay. Got to do it all.
Correct.
Yes, that is correct, sir.
Town approved engineer. Okay.
So take out the town apostrophe.
Yes.
Okay, so I make a motion to take what a town approved engineer remove.
The you can just read it.
Okay, and a town approved engineer provided the necessary easement recorded.
Removing.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Gladys, all in favor? Gladys, yes.
Okay.
I have a question. Is the way we wrote this, the town engineer, is that just like any an engineer that's approved by the town, or is that like one specific engenginer
by the town, any engineer approved by the town?
Okay, which would be like any of the ones that typically name the class.
Okay, so Gladys, I'd
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. Next.
Well, I actually would like to make a motion to put the where feasible back in. And I think, well, I guess I'll make the motion and then I can open it for discussion.
Second. So you want to make a motion?
To add where feasible back in front of at the very beginning of the, because I still think, I mean, like even looking at what Gladys did at Annie's, if it had to follow the street right away, it would have been significantly more expensive and you couldn't have cut through a field, and you're not allowing that as an option. If you take out where feasible, and again, it's being finally approved by an engineer, and the whole thing at any point can. And so you're making it more possible for people to do things. And, you know, when you did Annie's, you wouldn't have been able to do it because it didn't follow a street right away.
Right, but that's what the bottom part says. Alternative routing may be approved by the fire authority and town-approved engineer, provided the necessary easement is recorded as part of the plat.
Yeah, and so that's why, where feasible, the water supply and fire hydrant shall be located within the street right of way. I think that is to keep in the where feasible, I think, is important, as presented by the Planning Commission.
I don't like the word feasible, just for the fact that it looks like it's for use of money or monetary, and that shouldn't be a different. So if you're putting in a fire hydrant,
any more comment? All right, well,
you made the motion.
I made a motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor of leaving where feasible?
Right.
The?
Yes, Gladys.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, no. Wait, re-adding it back into it?
Yes.
2D, yes.
No, definitely not.
All right, we're adding it back in. All right. So,
now we have to actually accept it
as a final.
So now,
and with all the
changes, yeah. So somebody like to, I'll entertain a motion.
I believe that because we opened it initially with that motion and then you did the little ones in between, that's there, but just to be careful, you could do that. Right, Judy?
I don't know. Okay, now say again, Elizabeth.
I make a motion to accept ordinance 2022-4 with all the changes that were approved in this meeting.
I'll
awesome.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor. Okay.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Tim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Good job, team.
Now we've got to run.
Okay. Moving on to the Fogle 4 subdivision preliminary approval.
Do you want to read the staff memo from Peg to start us off to give a summary?
Yes. So Peg sent this out. This is from October 17, 2022. This was part of the package that we have it today because we didn't have it earlier because there was a problem. Peg missed something and it didn't get loaded. So we have it today from Boulder Town Planning Commission to Boulder Town Council. Subject: Fogle Fuller preliminary application for subdivision at 2175 South Lower Boulder Road. The Planning Commission recommends Town Council approve with conditions of the subdivision application by Anson Fogel and Alexandra Fuller for the property at 2175 South Lower Boulder Road. The application was first discussed by the Planning Commission on March 10, 2022. The required public hearing was held at the April 14, 2022. On October 13, 2022, the Planning Commission voted to recommend to the Town Council approval with the condition that the recommended items in the April 12, 2022 letter from the Town Fire Authority be implemented. Because the subdivision only involves reconfiguring and dividing two existing lots in three lots, no additional infrastructure or site development is required. In accordance with the Boulder Ordinance 152.046A1, preliminary subdivision application approval by the Town Council shall act as the final subdivision approval. So, this is the big one. The reason that we tabled it mainly was because of a letter that was online with the application. And so for all practical purposes, we accepted it as part of the application. When you sign your application, you sign and state that everything you've submitted is true. And so we took that seriously. So after reviewing that letter, we sent it on to our attorney to make sure that we were covered as a town. Our attorney has told us that we're fine, that we don't have to worry about the letter because the certificate was issued. So as far as the council's concerned, the letter is null and void, okay? So we did have another issue that their attorney brought forward that we want to discuss with the attorney, and that was conflict of interest with Jimmy. And our attorney, told him exactly Jimmy's position, because in the letter that was sent to our attorney, he was told that Jimmy owned part of the company, and what else was it in there? There was a lot. So we set our attorney straight as to his position. He's a paid employee with Boulder Farmstead. He makes no money off fire hydrants. He makes no money off anything, any lines, anything. He is strictly an employee of Boulder Farmstead. And there is no conflict of interest. And I want to say, I think we're dang lucky to have somebody that knows as much as he does about water and fire and different things. It's a perk. Anytime you get anybody with good background, it helps the town. So anyway, we're back to this application for the subdivision, because it's open for, I'm going to make a motion to open this subdivision for review and discussion. And then we'll get our comment from the public. And then we'll vote, whether we vote to approve it as is or with conditions. So I make that motion right now to.
So you're just making a motion to open a discussion?
For right now.
Well, so in order for us to have a discussion, you have to have a motion on the table, and then it's seconded, and then it opens up for discussion.
Yes, we do. So we'll open it up for approval. And do I have a second?
Lattisel, second.
All in favor?
Lattisel, yes.
You don't want to vote on it. You want to open it for discussion after a second, correct?
Yeah. So we'll discuss it after we...
You don't need a line vote then. You just needed a first and a second.
Oh, that's right.
For discussion.
The first and second. Sorry. Okay. So,
so Judy, far as the town board knows, the Planning Commission approved it, met all the criteria. They then sent it to us, recommending us
yes
to approve it.
And we have final approval on it. So it's open for discussion.
And they approved it with the conditions of the recommended items in the April 12, 2022 letter from the town fire authority be implemented.
Okay, and so what were those recommendations?
Do you know? I can read them.
Yeah, read them.
April 12, 2022. This is a letter from Peter Benson as the fire authority regarding the Fogel Fuller subdivision. I reviewed the fire protection plan and systems installed and planned for the Fogel Fuller subdivision. I think the fire protection for the subdivision is adequate. I recommend that the following provisions be included in the subdivision. One, there is an entity such as a property owners association that is responsible for maintaining the road and that all the property private, oh, sorry, I'm gonna read that one again. There is an entity such as a property owners association, POA, that is responsible for maintaining the road and all the privately built and maintained fire protection systems. This entity should be attached to the property so that when all the parties involved today are gone, it can still function. Two, the building inspector will inspect the construction and installation of the privately built and maintained fire protection systems. Three, the developers will provide in-person instruction to the fire department on how the privately maintained fire protection systems function. Four, the developers will provide a fire protection plan to the fire chief. Five, the fire protection plan will include A, a description of potential fire hazards, B, descriptions of the obstructions or difficulties that a responding fire department might encounter when approaching any of the properties, such as but not limited to gates or complicated roads. C, a description of any non-standard or privately built fire protection systems or water sources. D, schematic drawings of the entire subdivision and each resident, including known water sources, fire protection systems, propane tanks, electric and gas shutoff for each resident or building, and any other known hazard. The drawing should be formatted in a way that can be printed and included as pages in a loose leaf notebook for placement in a fire apparatus. Six, the POA will review the update and update the fire protection plan annually. If there are any changes, the updated plan will be provided to the fire chief. Seven, the POA will test all the non-standard and privately maintained fire protection systems annually and provide a report to the fire chief.
All right. So, what discussion do we have on the subdivision? Everything I saw in the application that the Planning Commission put forth, that the application for the Fogel Fuller, to me, they've got everything there but the fire protection. And I'm concerned about the fire protection. And I know Peter signed off on that, but we've had so many fires. So this is my thought. We've had so many fires. We are so dry. Our water, the C and the B and the C water was gone so early. Even the A water went early this year. So anytime you're looking at a pond for protection, you're in trouble, especially right now. And right now, we don't see anything getting any better. So my concern is for the safety down the road. We put in our ordinances that we could have ADUs. That means there could be two homes per lot without fire protection down there. They had a fire just, a few days ago down there, yesterday, down by Cookie and Pete's place. So we can't say it's not feasible. I'm concerned down the road. If we don't ask for fire protection and put in some fire hydrants down there, it's going to come back and bite us. They're in a lawsuit over in Escalante right now with the Moki Gardens because they didn't put in a fire protection system. So the town is in a lawsuit because of that. And I would think as a town that we need to really be aware of fire problems around here. I mean, the fire department went down to Lower Boulder and burned. I mean, my place is full of them too that we're trying to get tumbleweeds. And that's my concern down the road. And then if that happens, are we going to be responsible for what we didn't have them do? So that's my thought on the whole situation.
Well, and as our, in our actual ordinances, so 152-045, town's fire authority shall present information recommending. This is the codified.
I know, but it's the subdivision ordinance itself. The subdivision. I just want to know the name of it, not just the number.
It's the subdivision ordinance itself.
Thanks.
The town's fire authority shall present information recommending necessary fire protection and suppression services and facilities to the town council for review in considering the preliminary subdivision application. And if you go to F, town council approval. Following consideration of the preliminary subdivision application and all information and materials presented, the town council shall approve the preliminary subdivision application presented, approve the preliminary subdivision application with conditions, or deny the preliminary subdivision application. The town council may require on-site and off-site improvements, facilities, and amenities provided 100% by the applicant for the subdivision approval. The determined necessary by the town council to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of the anticipated residents of the subdivision or existing residents of the town, including but not limited to 1, roads and street improvements, including layouts, street grading, surfacing; 2, flood control facilities; 3, culinary water facilities; 4, sanitary sewer facilities; 5, fire protection facilities, including fire hydrants and water storage facilities, storage drain facilities, park and open space areas and facilities, irrigation facilities, electrical power and telephone facilities, and fencing and buffering treatments. So reading that, the town does have, we can come back in and say, yes, we do believe that you need to have your fire hydrants. And also I talked to Jay Kelly a little bit about storm drainage coming from Anson Fogel's property. He came down, built a catch pond or catch basin with a culvert coming straight out of the side of it, and it floods out Jay Kelly's property. I know that's not town business, but that is one of the things, the storm drainage in here. If we're passing subdivision, we have to look at every single one of them, even if it's not our business on there. So.
Steve, you got any?
Just a question. What would have to be done to bring it into compliance so that it is safe?
A fire hydrant about 800 feet to 1,000 feet down the road.
So you'd be looking at how many fire hydrants?
2, possibly 1. Because it says you can go within 800 feet in between 2 fire hydrants. So if you're measuring from where Conrad's, because that's the closest one, the corner of Conrad's driveway, come straight down the road, coming down the road. Because if Nick puts in a fence or anything else on the property, if he doesn't put in a fence, you don't want to be dragging. You're always looking at where you're dragging your hydrant or where you're dragging your hose. So
1 or 2 then. But other than that, he's there.
Other than that, everything else has been compliance that I've looked at. It's okay. Just the fire protection. And like you said, when we pass the ADUs, that's what worries me the most on there is you'll have Anson Fogel's house all the way down lot 3. Anson Fogel's house on the second lot, Nick's house on the first lot, then you have John Kelly's house on that exact same road. Now, if all 4 of them decide to build an ADU on there, we have 8 houses with no fire protection. The fire protection that he has on there, if we do pass this subdivision, then Anson Fogel no longer has Boulder Farmstead water that comes from the town, from Lower Boulder Road going down to supply lots 2 and 3. It'll be just going to Nick's lot. That'll be removed. So the fire protection that he put in there for the map and everything that comes off of there, he's using the Farmstead as part of the fire protection, which will not be available. So the only thing that he has on there is a 7 horsepower pump out of his well that produces 380,000 gallons a year, which if you break it down, it's only 19,000 gallons a month per lot. Fire code is 58,000 gallons an hour. And he's only got 19,000 gallons to use per lot per month. Okay. So that's where I'm at. I'm worried about that. So,
Elizabeth?
Yes. I think everyone agrees that we're concerned about fire. I mean, I don't think that that's so on the idea of the possibility of 8 dwellings, right? That's what Judy brought up in Jimmy. So according to, what is this thing called? Wildland Urban Interface Code, what is that? International Wildland Urban Interface Code. So that section 403 about access, there is the section of section 2-3 in there is the service limitations, right? And it does say a driveway shall not serve in excess of 5 dwelling units. But you can't assume that people will. I mean, however long that the ADU ordinance has been passed or CUP, we haven't had any applicants. And so it also says there's an exception to that where such driveways meet the requirements for fire apparatus access roads in accordance with the International Fire Code Section 503. And so assuming that right now, just like with what is currently there, that section 403-2-3 overrides Boulder Subdivision Ordinance regarding driveways of 4 lots, right? But if ever more than 5 dwellings were wanted or proposed, at that point, they could A, change the driveway to a street. They could B, we could say, well, you don't get more building permits because we as a town have that authority and that you max out at 5. Or they can, and in that same thing, they can change or add in the approved fire apparatuses. And so for us to make decisions on something that we don't know yet, right? But it based on the actual ordinances that are that we passed in whatever month that we were taking on the, every time I have to look at what this April, is thing called, US. The International Wildland Urban Interface Code, right? And so we as a town council said that we wanted that. And that's what that says. And until that they say we want more than 5 dwellings, we can't make a decision based on something that isn't in front of us, is my opinion on that.
Okay, then go back to the same where their fire system that they have installed on, or not installed, but in, well, it is installed, but on the map itself saying the Boulder Farmstead, they can switch the water, which that's the other thing. When you're switching water, and this is the state of Utah with wells and irrigation, if Anson Fogel's actual well is actually hooked up to the irrigation,
yeah,
at the same time where all you have to do is just turn a switch, that's illegal. You can't, no, you're not allowed. No, hold on. Yeah. I'm just saying for fire protection, that's what we're talking about, is fire protection. So if he's just relying on just his well and irrigation water, because Boulder Farmstead water will not be down there, he doesn't have just the switch where he can switch it. That's not,
yeah.
So you're,
that's, I'm not getting into that right now. I'm just bringing up the very first thing that Judy brought up and then you seconded was the concern of 8 dwellings. Okay. I just want to go through each thing systematically. I'm not saying what you're saying is incorrect, or I just want to make, like,
okay,
I just want to address each thing, gotcha, individually. Does that, okay, make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I did when you know, you had said that before about the 8 dwellings. And so I went back in and I looked at everything in our codes and the fire codes that we adapted. As far as the hydrant requirement, the ordinance that we just passed, that section C on the second page. So what is it? It's 152.041G3, that section that we just did, we said the distance requirement in 3A may be waived in the case of a subdivision not requiring construction of new streets served only by a private driveway or existing streets creating no more than one additional lot.
There is a new street going in because Nick's not allowed to come off of that same street.
Okay. So that was my feeling was it was based on creating no more than one additional lot. And that was, I just wanted to clarify. But from what I can see is if we're only doing one additional lot, then that isn't required. Is that true?
Well, how many? So this won't be just one additional. This will be the third lot that's actually came off of this. So when does that one lot actually stop becoming, yeah, a one lot?
But we just passed it saying that that was okay. And you're saying that they're taking 2 lots and creating one additional lot. I see that it is 3 total, but they're only creating one more lot. Correct.
Yeah. And it's still a three-lot subdivision, though. No matter how you look at that,
okay,
Elizabeth, it's a three-lot subdivision.
I never said I don't agree that it's a three-lot subdivision. But it's just creating one additional lot, which is the wording we just finished approving.
And that's the wording that we intended on the commission. Meaning we intended it to mean one additional lot, even if it's within an existing subdivision.
So that just means somebody can come in and I have five lots and I'm just going to add one additional
more.
And
yeah.
One additional and...
Yeah. I mean, that's looking at what we just approved, though. And there was no question about it at that point. So I'm not disagreeing with some of the points that anyone has made up to this point, but we have to make our standard based on what is currently our ordinances and if they met those standards or not. From my feeling of that, you know, they did go. Peter's recommended, what do you call those things? Recommended items, the conditions. I mean, they're pretty thorough.
But it's no longer a legit fire system because there's no water supplying it. It doesn't matter what Peter recommended on it. You won't have Boulder Farms as water actually supplying to it. That's what I'm trying to get to you here. Even you can have the biggest fire system in the world, the best one in the world, and you don't have water to supply to it, it doesn't do you any good.
Okay.
We cannot base fire system off of irrigation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that he has on, that he suggests on this thing. We cannot base fire suppression system off of a 7.5 horsepower pump either, coming out of a well. If you're actually going to look at the actual fire system, and it is one extra lot, and Nick's lot is covered by the fire hydrant that's out on the lower Boulder Road. But that doesn't mean that Anson Fogel is going to keep both those lots down there. If he sells one or if he has somebody rents in it or whatever, it's still that's a three lot subdivision, no matter how we look at that. And no matter in our thing, that's not just adding one extra lot. You're taking two lots and you're making it into three. Yeah, you're adding one, but you're still making it into three lot subdivision.
I agree with that. But it's... I have to think about that before I respond and reread this.
Gladys? Okay, so Jimmy, what you're saying is, as of right now, one of the lots.
Lot number one, I think, is that what, Nick, is that what your lot's labeled as one?
Okay.
So lot number one is covered by fire protection. That's no problem whatsoever. It's the second lot where...
Their current houses,
and then the new house completely down off of one side, or up all the way down. That's the third house. So if they were to run, like I said, 8 to 1,000 feet down, I think that just covers down below Nick's place down there. So that would actually put fire protection for those three lots now. You got John Kelly's, you have Anson Fogel's two lots that are down there. So that's where we have, there's going to be four houses down that road right now as it sits, along with big barns and everything else that are already down there.
But they're not having farmstead lots.
No. Okay. Lot one will. Okay. Just lot one with Nick. Because okay. That's the only one that will actually be able to actually have it legally by their not ordinance bylaws. And see, that's part of the that's part of his application was he could use Boulder Farmstead's water when needed to put into his fire suppression system.
But you can't because he doesn't own the water.
Correct.
And irrigation water is only
May through October, if you're lucky.
Yeah. Well, and even legally, it is the end of October. I think it begins the 1st of April.
Yeah.
So legally, you shouldn't even have any water.
I have a question. I don't know. But in Peter's recommendations that the Planning Commission recommended being conditioned, The second one says the building inspector will inspect the construction and installation of the privately built and maintained fire protection system.
That's not true either.
Well, that I want to ask. Let me ask my question. Instead of a building inspector, what if it was an approved engineer that the town picked, and then that an engineer is checking this whole system?
So the way that fire suppression systems, I go down and check Lattice's for her fire suppression system in Annie's. And all we do is we go in there, make sure nobody tampered with it, and we just take a picture of it, and that's...
So you in what role, just so I know?
For the cross-contamination.
So from the water company?
From the water company.
Okay, I just
so that. Because for cross-contamination, if you have fire suppression system hooked to your, say, culinary water system, you have to have an actual shut-off valve or an actual disconnect off of that so it can't come back in and... flow back into your culinary system inside your house or building or wherever. So whenever you have a fire suppression system, the building inspector is not going to look at any fire suppression system. He doesn't care about it. He's looking at the building and everything, making sure you're doing that.
That's why I heard. That makes sense.
So yeah, so if any of the fire suppression, you'd have to have, I don't know if it's not, if he's not hooked to Boulder Farms, then I don't, he doesn't have to do anything for a fire suppression system or
okay.
Have it inspected or anything like that. So, well, I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about the Jared actually inspecting, because I know he doesn't do that. I already talked to him.
Gladys, you got anything?
Well, I'm concerned. You know, and I recognize, you know, how expensive it is to that. Basically, you really don't have any fire protection.
Well, and when Cliff Fuller made his subdivision down here, he had to put in the fire hydrants coming down for 450.
Save the land, so
450, you know, so 450 south.
Yeah.
Down to the water, bottom of Canal Hill. When he made the subdivision in there, he was required to put in 3 fire hydrants. Daniel Kennedy split his property into 2 pieces down there. He was required to put in the fire hydrant right there in front of Jeff's lights that he had to put in. He didn't have to put one in for the very back because he has his own well for 1 lot that he's running his well off of.
Okay.
So there's no other, everywhere else I've heard people say that we have all kinds of spots in Boulder that don't have fire protection. I can tell you exactly where there's no fire protection at. You got Joe and Colleen's Road that are going down there, and you have Ricklinger's going all the way down Boulder Pines Road. Everywhere else there has a fire hydrant. You guys are far away from the fire hydrant. You have a fire hydrant right there at the base of your driveway. Everywhere else, coming all the way down from the subdivision, all the way down to down past Hills and Hollows, and that area down there. That's all.
And so right now the fire truck, the largest truck right now, has a current 1,500 feet of hose.
Correct.
And we just purchased another one that they're waiting on that will replace that and have extra.
Correct. So that doesn't mean that doesn't mean 2,500 feet away from the fire hydrant.
I was thinking about the comments that Josh Ellis brought up at the last meeting. You know, that section I don't even know what this is from.
They said that no house has been saved or no human life has been saved.
Well, I can tell you just the conditions where a local jurisdiction determines the modifications or extensions is deemed to be impractical or varied and should be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Conditions that should be considered in determining if an extension is impractical should include but not be limited to the following, and then they list those 7 things, and that's that section A18.5.1.2.
So I can tell you that, no, a house hasn't been saved because the fire hydrant hasn't been there, but I can tell you the neighbor's house has been, and so is the field, and so is anything else that's been there. And as far as, like, just the fire, I want the subdivision to happen. I am not against this to happen. I'd love for it to happen, but I don't want to be the one to sign off on this saying, okay, we're going to allow 3-lot subdivisions now, and the next person that brings in a 3-lot subdivision, do it the exact same way. Buy one big piece and then separate it into 2 and then separate it into 3 and then not have to do any fire protection. And if we pass this one as it sits right now, that's what we're setting our precedence on, even though 450 we already set precedence on making that that Fuller installed fire hydrants down there on a 3-lot subdivision.
Yeah. Right. Well, we did say that after we discussed it, we'd open it up to public comment, and then we can discuss more and then do voting and stuff.
Okay.
But I think that
public, we are opening the comments up to the public. If you're interested, come on down and give us your name. Somebody got, they got their hand up there. John? Oh, Anton?
Yeah, if I might go first just to reduce confusion a little bit. Can you all hear me all right? I'm gonna let Alex speak, but I just wanted to clear up some factual things. I mean, I respect the, we're as concerned about fire as anybody else, but I wanted to clear up a couple factual things. I think, you know, Jimmy, I'd love to walk you through what we got going down there, and but just to be clear, we never have, nor would ever plan to use Farmstead water for fire protection. There just isn't enough capacity. You know, even if we could, there just aren't enough gallons per minute to make a difference. Our fire protection system that we did this for ourselves, it had nothing to do with a subdivision, but we got about a 20,000 gallon pond. A lot of the town knows about it because they go swimming down there, but we got a 20,000 gallon pond. We aerated it. It's year round. It doesn't depend on irrigation water. We feed it from our well. Our well's 30 gallons a minute. So we got 20,000 gallons in our pond all the time. And that is the basis of what we use for fire protection when the irrigation water's not on. We got a big pump, and a 3-inch PVC line that goes up and down the road. So when there's irrigation water, it pressurizes it, and there's almost so much pressure that it's a problem. It breaks the lines and we have to fix them, but, there's no interconnection between the drinking water and between drinking water, well water, and irrigation water. The Farmstead water, like you said, Jimmy, we can't have Farmstead water down there, if the subdivision goes through. So we're not using Farmstead for fire protection. For us, our plan is we got a big pond. We can pump water out of that. The fire trucks can pump water out of that. And we got a big pump that can force it out if we have wildfire problems. We didn't do that for the town or for the laws. We did that because we're worried about wildfire just as much as everybody else. And the house we're building down there is built out of steel and concrete. So yeah, we think about that stuff, but just to clarify, there's no, that's incorrect. Farmstead water with it. We got a 2-inch ACP line. That's not enough to fight fires with. Jimmy, we certainly agree on that much. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that and make sure you're right. And, you know, I'll let Alex talk about the whole thing, but I think
street driveway.
And also, you know, we don't have any other eight. You're right. Legally, I guess you could end up with 6 dwellings. If Nick had 2 and there was 2 on in Bevan's old house, which is where we live now, and then 2 where we're building the house. That certainly isn't our plan, but, yeah, there could be. Nick has to build his own separate driveway off of Lower Boulder. He's not using our road, using the driveway. But we do have a sharing agreement on the driveway. You know, in terms of how we maintain the property and the driveway and the water system, that's already been dealt with. The Planning Commission kind of put us through the ringer on that. You'd have to go read a lot of stuff to... But that's all filed with the county in terms of road maintenance and sharing agreements. But yeah, I'll let Alex talk and everybody else talk. But I just wanted to clear, if anyone wants to come down and have a look, we'll show you how the system works. And you can go down there. There's 20,000 gallons of water. I mean, we'd love to have more fire hydrants, but it's $100,000 to do it. And we just simply don't have $100,000. That's the bottom line. So thanks for listening.
Thank you. Who's next?
Alex, we can't hear you. You weren't muted, but we couldn't hear you, and now you are muted.
Can you hear me and see me now?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, great. I'm Alex Fuller. I'm Anson's wife. I've been pretty quiet in this process thus far, but I think it's I need to say something tonight as well. So, you know, Anson and I own these 20 acres on Lower Boulder Road, Bevan's old place, for those of you who've been around a long time. And we've been tenderly and carefully restoring them over the last 5 years. We share the sentiment of so many people in this room and so many people in the community that we should do whatever is in our power to support the next generation to be able to remain here so that they can make a life in Boulder. And what is in our power is this. We currently rent our ADU to 2 full-time locals, and we provide work opportunities and support to several others. But we would like to take it a step further by carving off 5-ish acres of our land to owner finance at below market value to one of the many deserving young locals here, Nick Vincent. To do this requires reorienting our lot lines and subdividing a single new lot directly on Lower Boulder Road. We began the subdivision process, as was mentioned, last February. In October, we did receive unanimous approval from the Planning Commission, which made the formal recommendation to this town council to approve it. We understand that some members of the town council want to delay the approval of this lot for Nick because of the desire to install fire hydrants on the land, which was not a legal requirement at the time of our application. And in fact, because we're only carving off one new lot, hydrants would not be required under the new ordinance that you just passed tonight. I want to be very clear that we are not at all flippant about fire. We care deeply about wildfire. In fact, we have already installed what Boulder's own fire marshal called one of the best private fire suppression systems he'd ever seen in town. So the question before you tonight is not whether or not we will install fire hydrants, because I can answer that question for you right now. We will not. The lots we purchased were drawn to be half a mile long. So ripping up our road to run 6 or 8 inch pipe to over that distance is going to cost us somewhere between $70,000 and $100,000. And we simply do not have that kind of money. To date, the subdivision process has already cost us about $15,000. We believe strongly that wanting to commit to protect the community from fire danger is a really noble goal. And we believe that the town council has the best interests of the community at heart. We also believe that large-scale developers should install fire hydrants. But we are not large-scale developers. We're just a family trying to help a friend to make a life here. So the question before you tonight is really not about fire hydrants. The question before you tonight is whether you will vote to confirm the recommendation of your own planning commission to provide an attainable housing opportunity for a young local, or whether you will vote to deny him that future and therefore set the sad precedent that the other upcoming one-lot subdivisions by locals must also be denied. At the recent Attainable Housing Forum, it was clear that this community cares deeply about enabling the next generation to stay in Boulder so that Boulder doesn't die or get eaten up by large outside development companies. So please help us help this community, and please approve this lot for Nick tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Shelley? You're muted.
Okay, am I unmuted now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. The Planning Commission went over his plans over and over, and John was great working with this plan, and it took it a long time to be passed to the council for tonight, with knowing there was still some issues with this. And the emotional part of this is that I would love to pass this, and I know you do. And the emotional part of it is, yes, let's do it. maybe we can find another way to pass it. But the fire issue is one that we've got to confront now. We're setting a precedence for others. They are talking about making it a subdivision of doing more. It may not happen. We have no idea, and we cannot even go there. But we can go what is, and that's what we know for sure, is this is three lots. And we know that fire is a priority at any cost. And maybe we can have something come in to help us with that cost, but we cannot pass it with this going on, because they might have a building that's fire safe and everything, but they even talked about their pipes freeze or there's so much pressure. Let me take that back. There's so much pressure to these pipes that they break. Then they have a pond that can freeze. There's two issues there that they brought up that we know for sure that their pipes break because of pressure. And the other one is that water can freeze. That doesn't help the neighbor next door that doesn't have a fire protected house, that a fire can go on their lot. So we've got to be intelligent about it, take our emotions out of it, and try to get through this project and back them totally up as best we can. But we still got to confront this fire thing now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shelley.
I'm not sure how to raise my hand here, but I'd like to speak if I can.
Okay, John.
Full name for the record.
Yeah, this is John Ryan. I think I'd like to just say that there's the town has put out this agenda of helping working class local people stay. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, that there's opportunities without changing lot lines and subdivision acreage size to help people stay, that want to stay and who are in the working class, right in front of the town, and they can happen. And I'd like to see the town put in the effort to help out local working class people. I know Nick is very involved with the community. I've watched him coach kids soccer and help out neighbors for just the good of his heart. And he's an asset to this community. And I think that people that are here and wanting to stay, that are young and in the working class, are just as much of an asset as a fire hydrant is. And there's been multiple people who have said that fire suppression on this property is adequate. And the reality is that oftentimes new houses are not the houses that are burning down. And I've been down to that property a bunch. I've seen what's going on there, and it is, in my opinion, one of the safest fire suppression properties I've ever seen, from the system they have now to how much they clean up their property and keep their fields free of tumbleweeds.
Hey, thank you, John. Yep. John Varanth.
Yes, thank you. I'm John Varanth, member of the Planning Commission, and have been pretty active on fire issues, as you've seen earlier this evening. Anson Fogel and Alexander Fuller have proposed a private fire water supply system. There is a very specific nationally recognized code that addresses exactly these situations. This is NFPA 1142. It addresses things like flow calculations, pump sizing, and freeze protection, all of which are legitimate questions, which Jim Catmull has mentioned. sizing of the storage tanks, all these things are mentioned in the code. But these codes are really complicated and are hard to interpret. They require some expertise in making sure that they are applied properly. I would recommend to the town council that the subdivision be approved with the specific condition that before it is final, a professional engineer approved by the town review the existing system that Anson has put so much labor into and either certify that it meets NFPA 1142 as installed or identify the specific deficiencies that need to be corrected. I think that would protect the town. The town would be following a nationally recognized code. They would be using an expert who's got some specific training in design of fire supply systems. And hopefully the cost would not be prohibitive for Anson, but at least then we would have had an external review of whether the system is adequate for storage, flow capacity, pumps, controls, freeze protection, and so forth or not. So that would be my recommendation to the town council. Any questions?
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Who's got it? Hey, John. Okay. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah. Sorry I'm not there tonight. I apologize. I guess I don't like how personal this feels, both from the approval and the disapproval perspective. I find it really hard to hear people discuss the difficulties of firefighting in Boulder when they've never done it. According to the Wild and Urban Phase Code, as well as the provisions that John just mentioned, you do not need a fire hydrant to meet fire suppression requirements in Boulder. That's just a clear, true thing in our community. And it's important that we recognize that. And it seems to me like we have a fundamental lack of confidence in our fire authority within the town council. And we are currently dragging people through the coals in their applications instead of appropriately dealing with this one-on-one as professionals. We need to sideline this conversation, get the fire department, the fire authority, the planning commission, and the town council together and figure this out appropriately once and for all, instead of making this a big giant public display. We're 7 months into this issue. I mean, this is literally unbelievable waste of my time and hundreds of hours of other people's time. There's better ways to do this. I don't feel that it's even remotely appropriate for town council at the last minute on this application to be second guessing subject matter experts that are appointed to know these things and ensure that we meet our requirements. I don't personally feel that Jimmy has adequate training or experience to be second guessing this at the last minute. There was plenty of opportunity in the planning commission stage to address this and deal with it. The fact of the matter is, plain and simple, this meets the ordinances, and it's town council's job not to dig into the details of whether the road is wide enough or not, which, by the way, it is. It's your job to ensure that it meets the vision of the general plan and the general maintains the character of the community. That's it. If you're going to start second guessing subject matter experts, then are you going to start denying building permits because you disagree with the engineer that the footer needs to be wider? Where does this stop? If it meets the requirements, you have a unanimous recommendation from the planning commission, and you have someone who is not trained on wild and urban urban interface fire code or the NFPA code, who's not the fire authority, sitting here at the last minute pulling out stops. It's very, very inappropriate way to address strife and issues within our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Who's left up there?
Tina.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tina?
Hi. Let me see if I can. Can you hear me?
We can.
No, I cannot hear you anymore.
You're now muted, Tina.
Yeah, you're muted.
We'd rather hear you than see you.
Okay, there we go. I think this community has to realize that we don't have any control over fire hydrants, period, other than somehow requiring them, and we don't have control over the water. This is a, there is a division in this community about between the water and the water that is available through the Boulder Farmstead and the water that is available. I mean, and there's no water that the town has any control over in general. And I would just also like to say that this community has a whole other part that is in 84716 that has no availability of hydrants. So our fire department, that we have some ability to help protect our community, does not, is our real true fire department. I mean, our real true fire protection. And so I would like to say that there is somehow a disconnect between what is required fire hydrant wise and our community in general. We have a fire department. We need to support the fire department. The only way a fire can get out is if the fire department comes and connects with a fire hydrant, or if there's not a fire hydrant, there has to be another solution. And I think we need to look at all possibilities. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. John? Josh.
Yeah, I do. I just want to bring up one really ironic thing that I forgot to mention about this. And it's related to what Tina just said. The fire department, we serve from Calf Creek to, you know, Peterson Pasture to Salt Gulch. And then I don't know, you know, I guess we wouldn't go to Deer Creek maybe. Boulder Town is actually a pretty small component of our service area. So we're like, hydrants are not that interesting, really. Like, we're used to dealing with that. But the real irony of this entire situation is that whether or not this is approved, the fire protection situation at their house from a firefighting perspective is not going to change at all. Okay. If you don't approve this, what they've set up is what they've set up, and that's the way it is. So we're not solving a problem here from a firefighting and on the ground firefighting perspective. Nothing changes. Okay. That's really important to remember here. If you don't approve it, you're not solving the perceived or not perceived, the actual not ideal fire protection situation at their residence down there. And you know why I'm okay with that? It's a personal property issue. they build really nice house and don't put in adequate protection and it burns to the ground, it's their insurance problem. It's a personal problem. The odds of that spreading to another property, hydrant or not, slim to none. Once it goes wildfire on the ground, the hydrants are useless for that. Literally useless. Once it goes wildfire, you need Kevin Gardner and a tractor is the only thing that's going to save you, like in the draw a few years ago. That's it. So this whole conversation is somewhat of a joke because we're not solving a fire protection problem at their house one way or the other. They're not going to put in a $100,000 hydrant. And then if that's the condition and we reject the subdivision, then they're still not going to put in a $100,000 hydrant. So therefore, I'm not sure how any of this conversation is a solution to a problem from a firefighting perspective. And that's critical to remember here. Everyone keeps talking about safety. Everyone keeps bringing up firefighting. Nothing changes here. Either way, the on-the-ground situation, when their house catches on fire, the same thing is going to happen regardless. That's really important to remember as well here. We're not solving a firefighting problem either way at their particular residence.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you. All right.
Ellie has her hand up, and then anyone in the audience here.
Well, we got to move on, or we're going to be here all night. Well, I want to get you guys. Everybody's. Is there anybody up there that hasn't spoken?
People in the audience, start coming up one at a time. You all make the order.
Sorry, guys. Okay, hi, this is Elena. I have a few things to say. Some of them are from the perspective of a planning commissioner and some of them are the perspective of myself. As a planning commissioner, we have put a lot of time into reviewing these applications. They've come to us time and time again. We've also spent a lot of time on these ordinances. We fully believe that this matches the ordinances. I think something that feels frustrating in these meetings, personally, is we tell applicants that they have to do what's in the ordinances and we can't do what they think we should do and we can't do what we necessarily want to do. We have to follow the ordinances. And then they go off for months and they spend thousands of dollars and they color within the lines and they bring it back to us and we approve it and send it on. And then they're told, even though they meet the ordinances, that there's something that they should do in the town's opinion. And from my perspective, we spend a lot of time on these ordinances. We spend a lot of time on these applications. We have to uphold what's in the ordinances. And I think the ordinances fully support this. To kind of reinforce what Josh was saying, Nick's lot line is 200 feet from the hydrant at Conrad's house. Jimmy said earlier as well that it's that lot has fire protection. So it feels strictly obstructive to me to be not allowing this one new lot because the back lots that already have homes on them don't have fire protection. They're there either way. Anson's house and the house that he's building are there whether you allow Nick to have an opportunity here or not. With the fire protection that's in there, it's only required to be extra because they're doing something nice for Nick, and it's not required. It is up in my understanding of everything as a planning commissioner, as a public citizen, as someone also doing a subdivision application, this is you very clearly can say yes to this tonight, and I would really encourage you to do that. Because those two lots are there either way, and all you're doing is obstructing someone who is fully embodying the general plan from having a chance here. The last thing I'll do is just quote a piece of the general plan. This is from 5.1, the vision statement, which says, supporting an economically viable future by encouraging a local land-based economy centered on food security, cottage industry, local entrepreneurship, full-time residency, and affordable opportunity for future generations. Nick is a full-time resident. He's 30 years old. He has a small business. He helps with kids' soccer. He helps his neighbors. He employs people here through his small business. And I think that saying no to this would be not only a huge missed opportunity by the town, but send a really bad message about the town's goal of attainable housing. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena.
Can I ask a question?
clarify something.
Muffin, do it on the record. Oh, your name. That's how it works, Cindy. Come on, you haven't done this before.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, because
say your name on the record.
Oh, Cindy Wilson wants to discuss this. So I'm trying to understand. And is it because it's less than a 5-acre lot? So they have two lots, and isn't the ordinance say that you can have a 5-acre lot and sell it to somebody and they can live on it?
They have two 10-acre lots, and they're taking the two 10-acre lots and dividing it into three lots, all of which would be more than 5 acres.
So what's the issue? I mean, that's okay. Because they're calling it a subdivision? Is that the terminology? Is that the issue, the terminology?
Yes.
Not calling it. It is a subdivision. It's not just being called a subdivision, Cindy. It is a subdivision. Well, it's a three-lot subdivision with the fourth lot as John Kelly's lot.
Well, you have the subdivision by the power plant and those lots. How big are those lots up there?
1-acre lots. And they have the 1-acre lot, and they have a fire hydrant.
Yes, but that's a true subdivision up there. So selling property that you own, and you're selling somebody a 5-acre lot, that's just following the board of ordinances.
Yep. Anytime that you buy your land, it's a subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I sold half my land,
you're subdividing.
Anytime you're taking a new land,
I just got it. <and not. laughs> This is a very weird conversation. Just follow the ordinance and buy different lots for the one.
Hi there, Dylan Rose Geerlings for the record. I just want to echo a lot of what Elena said and encourage you all to think about this from a bigger perspective. As has been explained, they meet the ordinances. That's all we can ask of them. They put a lot of time and energy and thought into it. And I know this is hard to, maybe for folks at home who don't know the piece of land, it's kind of hard to visualize, but Nick's is the new one. The ones that exist that will now be cut off from water or cut off from fire protection are already there. And that issue is not going away. So adding someone who will be easily covered doesn't feel like much of a stretch. And it feels like, according to the ordinances, something that you can and should approve with the unanimous approval of the Planning Commission. So, and like Elena said, it's an important message to send to other people. This is the only way that people our age are finding a way to live here and attain land. And if they're following all the rules you've set out, which are not easy, I'm doing it myself. This is not something that, you know, takes a month and you throw together. It takes a lot of effort, time, and money. To tell someone who meets the ordinances as you set out that it's not good enough or it's not enough and you're putting something new, that's a really tough pill to swallow. And I think you lose legitimacy in the process that we're all really trying to respect if you do that.
Thanks. Thank you.
My name is Jace Allen for the record. I have a quick question. Have any of you town council members been down to Anson's property and looked at the water and everything? Okay. And so it sounds like the issue is the town has appointed the planning commission and the town has appointed a fire chief who have all written off on this subdivision and said that it follows the ordinances, which it does follow the ordinances. And so the town talks about wanting affordable and attainable housing for young people. And luckily, I'm lucky because the same situation that is happening for Nick happened to Tessa and I, and someone was willing to give us land at a great deal. And because we're in the draw, we didn't have to deal with any of this, but it's, I can't even imagine like having to go through this because we were just, it's a blessing. We were able to get land and we're here. And I want that. And I know the town wants that for people and for everyone in the community. And we're talking about setting precedents. I think precedent being set here is that you can follow all of the ordinances, do everything you need to. The staggering amount of time, energy, and money that Anson has put into that fire suppression and protection system is incredible to me. And that was before he even had any idea that he wanted to subdivide. And that's his care for his land and the people around him and his community. And there's been talk of the details. We won't go over that again, but I just think about the precedent that you're setting. I think talking about setting precedent could be that the town council doesn't trust the people they've appointed, maybe the planning commission, the fire chief. Yeah, I think this is an important issue, and I'd like to see some young people able to get affordable land here and be able to stay here. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Andy Rice again. I want to be really quick. The last thing I want to do as a person in my position is rock the boat in town. But I want to speak to the character and the quality of my friends, Nick Vincent and Anson Fogle and Alex Fuller. These are fantastic people, and I think that means something. I think it's worth something. And I think there is some flexibility. I think it's clear that there's flexibility in what we're doing. And I don't dismiss the validity of the arguments being made for putting in that infrastructure. And the precedent established is dangerous. And I get it 100%. But there's also a precedent that says we're a small community that doesn't necessarily have to be held to the same stringent standards as everybody else, which is why we live here. And that matters. And I think that there's a precedent to set to say we value our people enough that when push comes to shove, if it doesn't change anything, maybe we can help them out. And I hope you will.
Thank you, Andy.
Dan Pence, that sounds all right. I have a little different take. I support most of what everything that Dylan and Tessa have just said, but I want to point out that at the housing forum, I walked out of there with a little bit of optimism, and it was basically because Jimmy, your words to that forum were positive.
Dan.
Ordinances. You and John were going to get together and do some streamlining so that people like Nick or Elena could find a pathway to live here. And C, the distance requirement that you just passed out of 2022-4 regulating fire protection subdivision is an example to me of that streamlining. It gives you flexibility. And that's the kind of thing that Andy's talking about. This is what streamlining looks like. Plus, it takes us right down the path toward the general plan. These are the people that we want here. That's what the general plan says. And if we're going to streamline stuff, then let's do it. This is a good start right here with this subdivision. I think it's a good step.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Tessa Barkin, for record. I had a bunch of plans to say, and it has all been said. So I just want to reiterate that there are two existing houses that have a water suppression system. If that's questioned, I think following the lead of John Grant and getting an expert to check that is a fine idea. Putting Nick's lot in does not change anything. Those two lots are going to be back there. Those two lots do not have a hydrant. They have their suppression system. Nick's lot is going to have a hydrant within 200 feet of it. And again, it's been said, if you say no to, if you all say no tonight, you're saying no to everyone here. You're not just saying no to Nick. The town has this opportunity to continue to prove to us, not just have meetings, not just have forums and talk about the ways that you're going to provide housing. You don't have to change ordinances. You don't have to change zoning. It's all here. Someone is willing to sell someone a piece of land, and all you have to do is say yes to every single one of us here. Saying yes to Nick is supporting us.
Thank you, Tessa.
My name is Vanessa Detweiler, for the record. I live at the property that Alex and Anson own. I'm one of the tenants that they rent to, one of the locals that live there. And I know that property very well, and I'm not going to claim to be an expert on fire prevention by any means, but I know the system. I've worked with it. I live and work on that property, and it's extensive. They put an incredible amount of money and energy into it. There was a comment made earlier about pipes busting all the time. It's not all the time. We had it happen, and time and energy and money went into fixing it. It has not happened since. I also want to say that Lower Boulder has a lot of tumbleweeds. Judy mentioned this earlier. And I spend a lot of my life in the summer or in the wintertime clearing the tumbleweeds off of that property. And a lot of the tumbleweeds that are on that property are not generated from that property. They are from neighbors. So Alex and Anson ask that I do this. They employ other people in the community to help with this effort. They take the fire prevention down there extremely seriously. And for what it's worth, I think that if they were given the opportunity to improve upon the system that they have down there, they would. But they have to be given that opportunity. So that's all I gotta say.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Lacey Allen. I just want to speak a little bit to Nick's character from someone. I would not be able to be building a house right now. I have been through hell with the banks the last 2 years. And I have a great paying job in Boulder, probably one of the better paying jobs in Boulder. And it has still been quite literally hell getting my loan. And I couldn't find a builder. And John and Nick started that business. And I get to pay my brother to build my house and my friends in the community. And that is something that feels so good. And I will just say that I told Nick, do not cut down any of those trees. And he walked the whole property and he said, Lacey, this is a fire hazard. It has to go. Lacey, you cannot have this tree. This is a fire hazard. Like, he knows. He already knows. He has the eye for it. He's not, like, I feel like everyone knows that there are fire issues and none of us take that lightly. Like, we all are aware. And I just want to say that I think that if Nick was given this chance, who's not to say that later down the road, they will pull the money to get together a new fire hydrant, because we will realize that we'll need it. Like, we're not, I don't think anyone is saying that that's completely off the table, but I think it is. I think we need to give people a chance because it's already really, really hard. And that's all I want to say.
Thanks, Lacey. I personally like Nick's character myself. Yeah. I see him every time I work, and I believe everything you say about Nick. Anyone else?
Karen DeBonis. So just listening to all of this tonight, it's like, you can kind of carve it into two arguments, maybe. There's a bunch of emotional ones and then a bunch of logical ones. So it sounds like from the emotional side, people have spoken to the character of these applicants. They've spoken to the future of Boulder, the quality of the community that people want to see moving forward here. And then from the logical side, they've spoken to the ordinances. So this application checks all the boxes that it needs to. And so really you have like all these different arguments that are pointing you in the same direction. So I don't see how you could vote anything but yes on this application. Because if you don't, then either personal bias or not going with those ordinances that were put in place to make this process way quicker. So I don't see how you can vote anything but yes on their application. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen.
Did we get everybody? Oh, Nick. Last the best of all again.
Thank you. This is Nick Vincent speaking, just for the record. It seems fitting that it would, you know, end this public discussion. It seems like it's coming to a close. I first just want to thank everyone, everyone's time spent here working through this issue, supporting me, supporting the town, supporting this shared vision that we're trying to create. Yeah, I just want to let you know that I want the best for this town, and I really mean it. I care a lot, and having this piece of property will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I have, you know, aunts and Alex to thank for that. They have supported me in so many ways. And yeah, I can't thank them enough. And I want, you know, anyone else in town who is in a position that aunts and Alex have to be encouraged to help people like me. I want them to feel supported by the town. I want it to be a process that isn't arduous, that isn't overly expensive, and that can provide attainable housing to people like myself and people my age who are in the same situation. And this is the only option right now for people like me. I can't afford property at market value, and there's just not much property to go around. I think I can probably leave that there, and I just hope that we can, you know, come to the best decision here. So thank you everyone for your time.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you everyone for coming out, and I'm looking forward to hearing what comes of this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Did we get everybody? Don't want to leave anybody out. All right, well, let's make a vote on passing it. Oh yeah, we have to close the public meeting. We'll close.
It was just public comments.
Yeah.
The motion out. We did a discussion. Everyone commented. If we want to discuss more, we can. If we want to vote, we can.
Any more discussion? The
motion's on the table of accepting the ordinance as proposed by the planning commission.
That's right.
And not the ordinance, the application, subdivision, whatever the heck it's called.
Do we have any more discussion with the town council?
I like John Grant's suggestion. It seems like a compromise that helps protect the town.
I agree.
And still allows the subdivision to move ahead.
So we have to vote on passing it. So we have to, in order to do that, then we'll have to vote no and then vote again with.
No, you can add
stipulations.
You don't have to do that. And all right. Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if it's necessary, but
John's got a comment.
Go ahead, John.
If you'd like, I wrote up the proposed condition. I can send that to Peg, and then she can put that on the screen if you want.
That'd be helpful. It's not Peg, though. It's Lexi running the Zoom. So you have to send it to her, correct? I guess you could share it to Peg, or let Peg share her screen. Aren't you running the? No? Peg is.
Either way.
Somebody. John, you can share your screen and just share it.
Yes, you can share your screen, John.
Just let you do it.
Okay, let's see if I can do that.
Peg or Lexi have to give you permission to, and then you can.
And anyone can share a screen.
There you go. John, so, do you need help on learning how to, or do you know how?
Yeah. I think we got it. Do we have it now?
Yeah, I see something.
See if I can, let me increase the font size so it's readable. Is that readable on for everyone?
Yes.
All right. So make a motion, Elizabeth.
Me?
Yes.
I haven't finished reading.
I'll make a motion for before recording the subdivision, the private firefighting water supply system must be reviewed by a town approved professional engineer for compliance with NFPA 1142 standard on water supply for suburban and rural firefighting, and that any identified deficiencies be corrected.
And we'll,
yeah. Okay,
okay, yeah. We're adding that to this ordinance right here.
Yes.
No. This ordinance already passed. It's a condition to the subdivision, preliminary subdivision application.
Just for Fogle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this would be, you would be approving it with this condition.
Okay. And that's what Jimmy made a motion for. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Well, wait.
Right. What?
I feel like if you're going to do that, then you should take out Peter's recommendation of the building inspector that they shouldn't have to do both.
Okay.
But if you're going to do that, it should replace.
Well, the building inspector, yeah.
Josh has a comment about which authority fire standard you should follow. Just you might want to check.
Okay. Well, right now, I just want to make that comment that if Jimmy, your motion was seconded, that it take the place of item 2 in Peter's recommendation, that it's not in addition to. And Peter's number 2 was the building inspector will inspect the construction and installation of the privately built and maintained fire protection system. And so if I would say this should replace that, not be in addition to.
Okay, replace that.
Yeah, because the first one won't happen anyway.
All right, so it's been moved and seconded. Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay, Steve did. All in favor?
Okay, now it lost me. We're accepting the.
We're going to approve it with it, and this will be.
So,
okay.
Will you pause for 1 second?
Yeah. John, have you seen Josh's comment regarding why it's not for the wildlife urban interface code?
And why NFPA? Because we as a town took on the, what was it, 2016? Anyone know the year?
No,
the wildland or the International Wildland Urban Interface Code. And so.
Okay, yes, I can answer that. So the Wildland Urban Interface Code just says there has to be a water supply, but it doesn't provide any further guidance. The NFPA 1142 is specifically written for rural situations, and it deals with ponds and cisterns and private storage tanks, the sizing of pipes. Very importantly, it deals with freeze protection, and all in great engineering detail. So 1142 is a very specific standard, but it is written for situations like Boulder, where you don't have a typical urban subdivision. You have widely spaced houses, far distances from water supplies and so forth. So, and it does, and it is for private water supplies primarily.
And what does NFPA stand for?
National Fire
Protection. Thank you.
Yeah, National Fire Protection Association. And as a point of reference, this is exactly what they have up on Black Boulder Mesa, is a system of private water tanks and hydrants. Whether it was designed strictly in accordance with that code that many years ago, I don't know. But conceptually, or what we can relate it to, is exactly what they have with those houses up on Black Boulder Mesa, which is a private water storage and supply system, not connected to Boulder Farmstead.
Hey, Anson, I got a quick question for you. Is your pond right now frozen?
No, the pond never freezes. We have a big aerator. You can go down and look at it, but we have a big aerator in there. I mean, there's fish in there, so it can't freeze. No, it never freezes.
All right, so where are we?
Back to you just asking me to. Okay, yes, I am voting yes to approve it. The reason why I am voting yes is because it meets the requirements. Sorry, nothing you guys of your personal stuff. I can't let that interfere. As far as I'm concerned, it meets the requirements. Yes. So.
With this in there?
Yes.
Oh, that, okay.
Yes.
All so right. It's just changing out item two for this versus what was previously item two.
Okay, correct, yes.
Okay, now still I'm lost on. Okay, so we're is that the what people, we're voting on then?
So the planning commission submitted to us for approval with these conditions, and all we're doing is replacing Peter's condition number two with this. That. And so it's taking, instead of a building inspector, it's using a professional engineer that works specifically with rural fire suppression.
Yes, but we're passing the subdivision.
Yeah.
We're approving it.
Yeah, approving the subdivision.
Yeah. With that condition.
Yes.
Okay. So we were, so Gladys, we
said yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also say yes because I believe it met, that the application met all of the requirements of the ordinance.
Okay. Steve.
Steve, I vote yes as well. And then first, some of the involvement as well. I think, you know, we need to do what we can to.
Okay.
I vote yes, we'll change it.
Okay. I vote yes also. I just want to be safe.
Same here.
And if the engineer says go, then I'm happy. Okay. All right. It carries with the.
I think we should take a bathroom break before we move on to the rest of the business.
Tired. I've had like about 6 hours sleep in 2 days.
One of us will get Andy offered to have his.
Oh, you and me both. I don't know if you remember one of the first time I was on a planning committee. I've been here in a long one. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, and I don't ever turn any phones on. Anything. I was trying to turn it off. And Troy's out in the audience and raises his hand and goes, just seeing that terrible time to go to bed. So embarrassed that I turned right red. And I was like, you really, no one needed to know.
Really say that.
I was like, really, no one needed to know that story. I was like, please. Nice. We need, does anyone know where Steve went?
Yeah, he
went to the hey. Hey, guys, I know you're.
I may not be able to hear you.
I don't know if y'all can hear me. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I know y'all probably just want to go to bed just like me, but I may not be able to talk. It's hard to get a hold of everyone. Do you want us to select an engineer and then suggest it, or are you guys going to select an engineer? And I don't really care. I just want to make it easy. But there is one little detail, which is, who is this engineer?
Well, I don't know. I know Jimmy just said Jones and DeMille is who we usually use.
Jones and DeMille is fine with me. That's who I use too. So
I don't know if we've gotten that far, to be perfectly honest. So well,
I thought it might be more time efficient instead of having another town council meeting to select an engineer. If you guys think Jones and DeMille is fine, then I'll just call Jones. That's who I use to do all of it anyway.
Yeah, that's who we use for all of the anything like that. So
I mean, that's who I would call anyway. I just want to make sure that's okay with y'all.
Yeah,
All right. You want to make a motion?
Do we need to make a motion?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
It's his.
So as long as it's approved by the town council, yeah. That's it. It's that you make the recommendation and then we just say, yeah, that we accept that. Correct?
Correct.
And all so right. Far, it sounds like everybody's in agreement that yeah. Jones and DeMille is yeah. The best.
Well, I'll call Jones. I'll call Eric tomorrow. We're good. I'll call Jones and DeMille, and I'll just make sure that I'll coordinate all of it and then present their findings to you if that sounds good. I just want to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, and then we just need to make sure, just for the record and stuff, so it gets properly printed, that what do you call Peter's recommendation, that item 2 gets transcribed with what John had.
I believe that is on, I believe that's your responsibility. I can't do much about that.
No, it is. I'm just saying that, but then you need to, we need to give you a copy of it.
Yeah, that's fine.
We need to post it on our website as for public records.
Okay. Well, again, thank you all so much. I know that it was a challenging process. I will engage Jones and DeMille forthwith and report back.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
People cleared out. They don't care about the rest of our business. Okay. I didn't mean to say that right before you walked in. I apologize. I know that was going to happen. I'm going to.
All right, I make a motion. We come back in from our break. Oh. Do I have a second?
Second, Gladys.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right, post office phone and contract obligations for town. So I called over to Esco Annie and talked to Ryan, and the only contract that is in place is between Ryan and the post office. Okay, now Ryan does pay the phone bill. And we have the bill, we supply the building, and we pay the power. So that's where it rests. So now Peg put this together. I'll read this. The fire station currently operates off whatever signal is available from the library router. Corey said he speed tested it at various times, and it varies from zero service to 20 megabytes. Monthly cost for installing and operating a firehouse. What's that? I should have known that. Internet services. I'm tired. I'm sorry. Internet services, $74.95 a month for 5 megabytes service. Cost for 50 megabyte service is $100 a month. The router is included in those prices. An order for the 50 megabyte service can be activated tomorrow upon your approval. Recommendation. The fire station needs to set up with reliable internet service that will be able to grow with additional usage for both fire crew and EMTs. For now, the fire chief can generally send and receive reports okay. However, I thought it said sports. However, the county is expanding its use of online meetings with all the departments. Those will require additional and reliable bandwidth. The use by the post office seems to be ancillary to the need for future services by Boulder's EMS, although the post office already has its own phone line and will be connected to fiber when that comes. To me, to be able to supply that to the firehouse, that doesn't seem bad at all. And that's 50 megabytes.
So now, will this be installed in the firehouse or coming from the post office?
I thought, well, I think it's, yeah, Peg's not online.
No, I'm here.
Oh, good.
It is to be installed in the firehouse.
Okay.
I was just wondering, because it says the monthly cost for installing and operating a firehouse PO accessible. So I was just wondering where it was actually going to be.
So it will be in the firehouse then.
The firehouse, and because of its proximity, the PO will be able to have better access to that than the library, which is, I think it just varies. And I think Ryan's purposes have generally been served in the post office to date, but and Corey's, which have been relatively light, have also been serviced more or less when he needs internet in the fire station, but it varies so much. It's not dependable. And I'm saying the county going to more, you know, they're going to go to more meetings and things like that. That's based on David Tebb's report in the commission, where he's talking about the meeting with the fire chiefs. And there have been some that Boulder's missed out on for whatever reason, but they do a lot of meetings online because of, well, previously COVID, now just gas prices. They try to do more of those kind of meetings online, any kind of training that's possible online. So the fire people and the EMS people in general will need access to a reliable internet service in the fire station. And that's what Corey, I don't know if it's Corey is in the room right now, but he and I talked today too and basically agreed with that.
I know currently our EMS system isn't what it could or should be, but at some point too, to see the county is moving a lot, as last I knew, and Karen left now, but the is like all their records and stuff are now all digital. And so there could be some reimbursement money that would be available from the county on that, and or requesting it on behalf of the fire department from the county, you know, like saying, yes, we'll approve it and we have the funds for it, but we should still seek out some reimbursement opportunity because it is a necessary thing for the EMS being fire and EMTs, as well as the post office for the community.
Yeah.
So we'll have, so the firehouse will have its own, the post office already has its own, you said? Or is it?
Well, they have a phone line.
No.
So it's just a phone line they have, and then it's just,
yeah.
Okay, so they're running.
And then, and so basically the post office would have the ability to run off of here or the firehouse, whichever was working better.
Okay.
Right, Peg? That was my understanding of what.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. The post office doesn't have its own. It just can use either one. So it's okay. Not secured to just the firehouse. It would be shared with the post office.
Well, then what were you talking about? Ryan paying?
Ryan pays his phone line.
Ryan pays the phone bill.
Okay.
But yeah. Not the internet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm good with putting, we need something in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And well, we've been talking about it.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Just the... I think it's worth checking periodically that if we're paying $100 a month for 50 MB, that's actually the service we're receiving.
And yeah, that's a really good
because point. I think that's a big problem. And I think that I agree with this completely. But if we're paying $100 a month for this and that's not what we're receiving, then it needs to be addressed.
It seemed to me like they, if we require it, they'll come in and check it. I mean, Dave came in here to check to see how we.
You can ping it and check your own stuff on there.
Okay. Corey had been checking it. And so we should check it regularly and frequently. And if it's not the service that we're paying for, we should make that known and either get the cost reduced or the service improved.
Okay, we'll talk.
And it won't say,
he'll do that.
Just from talking to Dave with our fiber optic coming in, I can tell you that it's not going to stay at 50 megs. It's going to drop way down until we actually get the fiber optic.
But
they're supposed to be putting in next.
You can't say that that's what they're going to provide for $100 a month.
Correct.
So you either have to provide it at some point or, and that was the last time I brought up at some point, if it's not, we should look into some of the alternatives of the different, you know, Beehive satellites will come and do stuff here through the state, as long as you're a state agency. And, you know, you have private satellite companies, but it might be equivalently priced to do something else if we're not getting the service we're paying for. And so I just think that we should pass it, and I agree with that, but we should monitor it. And if we're not getting the service we're paying for, we should continue to look and or put some pressure on South Central.
Yeah, I think Corey's pretty good at doing that when he was testing things here with his phone, checking to see what we had when we were talking about.
Yeah, we just
about.
Need to.
We'll just. Okay, so.
I make a motion that we actually pass it and get a
a router installed in the firehouse.
I second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay.
We already have the phone line and everything all in the firehouse, correct? And both. Is there one in the ambulance shed?
A what?
Is there a phone line in the ambulance shed or just in the office of the firehouse?
I don't know that, but if I had to make
I'm pretty sure.
An educated opinion,
I'm pretty sure
it's
I'm
not in there.
Well, I'm trying to go off memory, so that's not
all right. Today. Let's move on to the shed.
Good.
Judy passed them out. Everybody take a look at them.
I have one question. It's not a check that's on here. I was asked by Vaughn to check on the $100 check from Boulder Farmstead for the donation for July 4th because it was never cashed. It was for the July 4th donation from Boulder Farmstead for $100.
Maybe we just have them reissue a check and we'll call that one.
We just had to check, make sure.
You think?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else? See, you got any questions on this? It's not on this one, Jimmy, but I'm going to run this by you right now because we were, during the summer, our water usage, the checks we were putting out were humongous.
Yeah.
So how would we check on that?
Well, the way that the two water meters are set up out here, one goes directly to the town hall, and the other one goes to the fire department and all of the grounds, water, everything like that. So I've even talked to my dad about seeing if there's any way that the town can actually buy a 2-inch meter and just install both of them in 1 meter, and then you guys have 100,000 gallons, so you're not getting an overage on the fire department and the grounds one, and then you just have just the town hall, so it'll be combined into one axle meter for the 100,000 gallons. The other problem is the town park down here, there's a ton of water that gets used on the town park. And that's
we might want to put in some timers. I mean, even in your yard, you can put in simple timers to where we got to do something because that was a big water bill.
One of the water bills was for like 114,000 gallons.
It's so humongous.
That's a ton of water.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. It's true. Okay. So, I make a motion we pass the check.
I second that.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. All right. Department report. I'll start down at the end, Gladys.
Okay, don't have anything real exciting to report, but I do have a comment. I would like us to meet with Josh and the fire department that discuss more on these fire things. You know what I mean? Because it seems like there is a lot of.
Well, not only Josh, maybe Jones and DeMille also, that you can actually, because that's where, yeah.
Well, and even planning something, so because I think it's equally as important that we educate and learn from each other, all the different departments into the town, but also include the public and doing it as a public forum, you know, and having a panel of people or discussion somehow and setting it up so we can talk about, you know, and include the fire council and the fire department and the fire authority and state people or county people and get it actually so we are making progress forward, but including everybody.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be today or tomorrow.
Yeah. You don't have to make letters?
No.
See, I'm good.
All right. So that's it for you then?
Yeah, I can't think of anything unless somebody has a question.
Okay, Elizabeth?
Planning Commission's been busy. I'm going to go from most recent, I think backwards, but who knows, maybe the order's out. They did their attainable housing. It seemed very successful. I regretfully was unable to attend last minute. They are doing their upcoming workshops. I think it'd be beneficial for someone on the planning or town council to be on each of the three. I don't know if people have said anything, but I know that there's at least one member of planning commission on each of the three work groups, but I think that, I know I put my name on one, but I'm also trying to switch it up, but I think that it would be nice to have one representative, and it's a way the town council can show support and stay involved in what's happening with the planning commission. Whether we discuss it now or outside, just people sign up their three available ones. And
any volunteers? Elena,
did you say the names of them correctly?
Steve will volunteer.
I'm on one. I don't know which one.
And so that's as long as, and we just can't say the three names quickly.
It's housing needs, housing providers, and community vision.
There you go. So I don't know. I think just checking in and making sure, and even at your meeting next week, planning commissioners, to, if you don't have a town council member on one of them, to reach out and request it, and one of us can step up and be on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They're working on their procedural, bless you, procedural bylaws with Lee Nellis. They're doing the subdivision public hearing for Meadowlark, or they did. They did do the performance-based subdivisions, and that'll continue. Upcoming things, they've got a CUP application for the Gardner RV, and the more discussion and hopefully movement through with the subdivision of the Meadowlark subdivision. And people that are on planning commission, whether you're in person or on the web, did I miss anything? Elena's laughing, so I assume I got everything. John, Tina?
You just missed the thank you to Matt Cochran for 5 years served on the planning commission.
Yes, actually have that down too.
appreciate the
amazing job.
Not only was he just on the planning commission, but he led up the work groups 5 or so years ago. He did the general plan regrouping and was on that subcommittee. He's been very involved outside. He's been the chair. Yes,
he is a rock
star. And before the chair, he was the co-chair for years. So
thanks, Peg.
Yep. Let's see. Library on Saturday will be doing a bake sale fundraiser at the holiday market, also selling t-shirts, hats, and beverages. The Boulder Arts Council will also be there doing a photo booth to get more people to participate in the community exhibit. You can submit your holiday family photos or you can do that. And then they're also seeking applicants for new board members. And that's what I have for department reports.
Thank you. Steve?
Parks Committee did not meet, so we still don't know who will pay it off when. We'll try to get that meeting out this month.
Okay, and the resolutions were rolling till January. We just had so much going on, so we'll get them. We'll have them on in January.
That's it.
That it, Ben?
Yep.
Jim?
Sam dug out the new fire or the pit up to the dump. I think he told me 12, almost 12 and a half feet on one side, and 4 feet on the other, because he hit instant slick rock. It took him almost 2 full days to dig it. So we got that. Still Dwight's, I don't know what to do with the scrap metal, because Dwight's is just, they're so busy that it doesn't matter even if we don't even take the money from them and just let them just donate the metal to him. He still won't come in. They're still busy that... and I think we have, like I said, 6 or 7 semi trucks of metal up there.
Yeah.
Looking at it. So I don't know what we're going to do there. I'll still try to figure out. I tried calling somebody in Cedar City for a recycle center. I can't remember the name, but I never got a call back from them. I've tried 3 different times. So roads. Andy's Road. He talked to me about that before, so we'll get a good one on that one. I turned in a list of all of the roads to be chip sealed. In fact, I was going to ask you, Elizabeth, I put on one of the road or one of the things that needs to be chip sealed is right in front of the school, that big old huge indent.
Yeah.
Right there in front of the fence. Want to fill that in and then actually chip seal it. So it's an actual parking lot for you guys to be able to have the parents pull up to the fence without sitting like this in the dirt. Mm-hmm. I also have this road right here, right outside the windows right here, coming to the back kitchen. Mm-hmm. I have that on the chip seal list so we can actually chip seal it all the way from the road all the way back here and then one straight back into the kitchen itself. And then the full parking lot from the post office all the way past the gate right up here so we can actually have our full parking lot. The parking lot of the firehouse. All the way back to the fence. Corey asked me if we could actually, he's going to try to clear out those bushes right there on the corner when you pull in so we can actually go all the way back to it. We got Connie and I can't remember the name of the road or the number of the road. Connie Jeps or Connie Reed's road with.
Yeah, I
don't
know that number.
So I got that one on there. I got that one on there. I have 450 West on there. 450 West on there for chip seal. And I also have a quite request to get curb repair in on all Lower Boulder Road.
Ooh.
So I don't know.
You got the request in with the county?
I got the request in with the county.
Wait a
second. Yes. And then let's see, EMS, we had a fire yesterday. Other than that, it was kind of relaxed. Andy did tell me today when I was talking to him that he's going to take the ambulance driver training course and actually get certified as an actual certified driver for the ambulance. He's not going to retake the test. His test came up in October, and he does not have the time to retake the EMT test. And so he's going to take the test to get certified on to be an actual driver. So that way he'll still respond to everything. He'll still be there. So he just won't be an EMT.
Okay. They did have a call between last month and this month, the ambulance.
Yes, they did.
On the 17th.
And then we had another one 3 or 4 days ago at Ray Gardner's mother's house.
Yeah.
So.
Can't say details.
Let's see. Other than that, I think I covered it.
Okay.
Oh, in a week, I'm going over with Jones Mill Engineer over the Bird Trail and 450 West with engineering products on that. And I also got a quote from Jamie Pace for all of the trees on the Bird Trail from Highway down to Lower Boulder. He's going to send it to me, but for all the trees, I think he said there's 29 trees that need to be trimmed up. He's got a bucket truck and a grinder. And for all the trees, I think it's $4,000 to clear everything going all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see if I can get another quote, but he's the only one that
I gave. We end up with that quite a bit.
I'm not going to say the name, but I gave one other quote out for one tree, and one tree came back as $1,380. So,
can I ask one other question about EMS?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who in town that's on the fire department is currently insured and allowed to drive the county ambulance? I know Corey, but is anyone else?
I think Corey, Josh. How long? Well, there was like 6 or 7 of us that took the class.
Yeah, and that's right. Is it being maintained and kept up? And whose responsibility is that?
Because
I assume Corey's still eligible because he was the one that drove it. Because, I mean, right now we have Karen is the only EMT that lives locally. But we have at least one S1 EMT that's working up on the Mesa. So during the days, that is helpful. And, you know, he showed up that Thursday the 17th. And it was Corey that was able to drive it. They got to be able to be on scene first and then wait for Escalante ambulance to come. But it was a big difference.
Right.
So it'd be work to make sure that you follow up with the fire department and have them keep it and maintain it. Because even as you get more EMTs, it's important that you have a driver. And the few EMTs that we have get to be EMTs and not be drivers.
Yep. I agree with that.
Okay. All right. He didn't steal my thunder. Thank you. The fire hoses are here. Finally, the new fire hoses are here. I was so excited. I back gave Corey a big hug. He came in. He's like, I got some good news. Made my day.
The hoses and everything?
Yeah.
The whole entire rest of the...
I don't know. All he said was the hoses arrived, and we were, that's the one thing, you know. Kind of hard to put out a fire with holy hoses. All right.
Not much fun at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The audit is Monday. Judy and I will be there. It's actually going to be an over-the-phone audit because we are under a certain amount of money. We don't have to have a full-blown audit. So that's going to be nice. Definitely, we got all the stuff together that on this big list. And then he goes, oh, no, you don't need that. Okay. Anyway, we got the money in from the DOT, from the school box and the signs and stuff. That money, we finally got that money in. So I think that's, oh, one more thing. Our illustrious clerk is retiring by the end of, her last day will be December 30th. So
she's not going to go to the end of the year.
December 31st. What day is, I told you, I'm tired. Anyway, she's retiring by the end of the year. So we'll see what we can figure out for you. All right. I think on my side, that's it. How about the clerks? Anything for the clerks? Okay. Yep. And then we have public comments. Anybody else want to get up and talk?
I don't want to hold you up. Everybody wants to go home.
Damn. No way, we want to stay here all night.
Wow, we like it here. I want to commend you. Interesting meeting. And after the after a housing forum, the turnout at the housing forum was, and there were 60-some-odd people there. And then tonight, the turnout, we all know this is a big issue. And this is probably the most young people I've ever seen at a town council meeting. And this is a huge issue for them. And I really thank you for taking it, everyone taking it seriously.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Yep. Appreciate it. Anybody on Zoom? That's awake.
You guys
got business.
There's no one else.
Somebody else with a comment?
Yeah. We got a thumbs up.
All right.
Upcoming business.
January business. I've got down the two resolutions. The park committee resolution and the park trail resolution. We'll get with you, Elizabeth. And I think that, what else?
Next month we have the annual training on open meetings. And I think
it's January. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a really excellent opportunity for us to like kind of dial in and ensure that we're correctly documenting the needed items on our agendas and that we're presenting correctly in minutes and attachments and kind of some more procedural things. And at the same time, I think it is, we should take a close look at the procedural bylaws that the Planning Commission is working on and see if we can either adopt something similar or the same or so on.
We have bylaws.
But cleaning them up and us actually following them, because there are some procedural things that haven't been doing for the last year that we should. And so I think next month when we do our annual training, we should really take it as an opportunity to
re-implement it.
Yeah, clean some things up a little.
So you want to read up read the bylaws and go through them and see where we are?
Yeah, I think I think we all, if everybody worked together in doing it, I think we could hold ourselves much more accountable.
Okay. All right, I think it's time we can.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye,
aye, aye, aye, aye.
Yes, Judy, yes.
Judy, yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Next month's going to be a lot shorter.